Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. How you doing, girlfriend mama?
I'm doing good. I'm Christine Marie. You're right. I'm around here. They call me mama. And you're Julie.
I am.
You're Julie of the girl who almost won a whole lot of money on the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yes. And I want to share a little bit about that before we bring on our first guest. But tonight we have two wonderful guests on. And our first guest, and I hope I'm not saying her name wrong, but I'm going to go Doris first, because Doris is a wonderful coach. She's got a PhD, but she really is a master certified coach. And she wrote the book, Conquer Your Inner Critic, plus a lot of other books, and we're going to talk about that tonight, as well as Vanessa Talbot. She's in our second half hour. And she's another coach, and she's got this great book coming out. Mama, say it. Extraordinary.
I like to say extraordinary,
yes.
But it's extraordinary. You.
Yes, we have this difference of the way we say
yes.
it.
You say potato, I say potato.
Exactly. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show.
Yes.
And before we bring on Doris, I just want to say, what an exciting day yesterday watching the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
I was with about 1,000 other people watching the Kentucky Derby.
And you brought your great big hat along. You had the,
yes. It was so much fun. I had fake flowers on it. It was very, it was more crafty than English, I should say, Kentucky-like.
Uh-huh.
But I was trying to intuitively pick horses, because it was just on a whim that I went with some friends, and I go, you know, number five sounds good. And it was Normandy Invasion, and that was cool. And for about 2 seconds, he came from behind, and he was up in the first one. And it was like, I literally thought I was going to pass out. The energies were so strong. I was, hello.
That was so amazing. When she came home, she said, I was going to pass out. My horse became in first place. Just thought, catch me now.
Exactly. And so I just had to look away, and then he was like in fourth place. But I spent $5, and afterwards I said, mm-hmm. and I was the cheapest one around. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, that was the best $5 I have ever spent.
You got some major high off that $5.
I really did.
You big spender.
And I really did. So, my girlfriend, do you have anything you want to say before we bring on Doris?
No, I can't wait. I'm so delighted to bring on Dr. Doris. I'm gonna say it's Helg, H-E-L-G-E, but she will correct me. Her website is coachingbydoris.com. But we're going to talk about, you know, what we're going to talk about, conquering your inner critic, among other things, you know. And I know mine is my mom. My inner critic is my mom. I can still hear her. Hey, Dr. Doris, are you there?
I am, and thank you for asking about my name. It is Helgi, and you know, no one ever gets it the way it's supposed to be, so don't even think about it.
But Helgi with a long E, I'll remember that.
Yeah. And I'm going to do you justice real quick, Dr. Doris, because you're an award-winning, master-certified coach. You're also one of America's top 10 coaches. I think that's awesome. You've got the best-selling books, Conquer Your Inner Critic, Transforming Pain into Power. So I want to ask you a question about that. As also, I have a question about your other book, Joy on the Job, because we're coaches as well. We're certified coaches. And really, I'm sure there's a question that comes up with you a lot. Do I have to quit my job to find happiness? Or, you know, do I quit now, go after my passion, or should I stay and try and figure it out here?
So you know the answer. What do you think the answer is? That's the bottom line, because what we think is what unfolds.
Absolutely.
Great coach answer. Exactly.
Great true answer, too.
Exactly. And a true answer. And so, you know, so then I know. So I would say that in our book, though, in your book, we want to find joy on our job as well. Because if we can find joy on our job, we'll take that joy with us on our next job. So that's what I'm going to say.
And, you know, it's also for entrepreneurs. It's for solos like us. I assume all of us are solos who are coaches,
yes.
Because most of us aren't promoted by a huge organization. And, of course, there are organizational coaches. But the bottom line is, it really, truly is all up to us. And that's the beauty, it's the challenge, and it's total personal freedom. Because when we realize how much control we have over our own happiness and exactly the steps we can take to get there, we are just jiving with happiness.
That's so true.
And it's so doable. See, that's a place people simply don't get it a lot of times. It's very, very doable. You don't have to wait for someone else to change. You definitely don't have to wait for your boss to change if you are in a corporation. Mm-hmm. And if you're an individual, you are really free.
I love hearing that. You know, so many people are just curmudgeons on the job. You know, we have, in our neighborhood, we live in a very rural subdivision, but about three houses down, but which is probably about a half a mile away, there's this older gentleman, and, you know, we've been here for, I don't know, 15 years or so, and he's always been just a curmudgeon. You know, if you wave to him, he won't wave. He's just got a scowl on his face. And all of a sudden, he retired from his job, a manufacturing job. He is the happiest guy. He'll wave to you. He rides his bike at 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he got himself a little puppy. This guy is totally transformed. But the problem is, I still see him as that miserable curmudgeon, because that's how I remember him all these years before he retired. And wouldn't it be nice, Dr. Doris, to not have to wait until we retire to find that joy?
It not only would be nice, it's fabulous. And those of us who've traveled that path couldn't encourage anyone who's listening who isn't there yet more excitedly, because I think we're all very enthusiastic based on our own personal freedom. It's like, let's do it. You know, there is no reason to wait until retirement.
Right. Exactly. And in your new book, How to Conquer Your Inner Critic, Conquering Your Inner Critic, I love it when you talk about this idea of, and you have a test on your website at coachingbydoris.com that really helps you figure out, is your inner critic really preventing you from moving forward? And how many of your clients would you say, because when I took the test, I was going to say, Dr. Doris, I was really, like, stunned. how many times I said yes to the questions. I mean, I would think that's a big concern for a lot of us people who are coaching, you know, that we have this big inner critic.
It is a big concern, and that's actually one of the reasons that I began training coaches years ago, because I saw that all these incredible, big-hearted people wanted to make a difference, and what was holding them back predominantly was the inner critic. And so I started doing confidence training for coaches. You know, it really is true, like you said, that most people have many things to mark on that self-test, which they can find at conqueryourinnercritic.com. And the reason is not what we think it is. There are a lot of myths about what the inner critic is and isn't. A lot of people think it was something that was given to us or something that we took on because other people maybe put us down in family situations or in schools. The truth is, though, we invented it. And the loveliest thing about that is anything we have invented, we can disinvent, we can reshape, we can give it a new job description. So you have incredible power over your inner critic instead of the other way around. Once you learn how to use it to your advantage, I interviewed lots and lots of people, really high performers, actors, comedians, Olympic athletes, and so forth, before writing Conquer Your Inner Critic. And there were so many things that were very consistent about how they worked at their inner critic. And these are high-performing people, like, let's say, Meryl Streep, for example. I don't know how many of you have read interviews by Meryl Streep, but what she always says is something like, and this is going to shock a lot of people on the line, why would anyone want to watch me? I'm not even that good. Mm. And most of us just drop our jaws when we hear someone.
Right, exactly.
Right, like Meryl Streep say that. But the truth is, what she knows is the inner critic comes up, and then you decide how you're going to deal with it. And it was the same with Olympic athletes. It was the same with world-class authors who have bestseller after bestseller after bestseller. They always told me, I simply learned how to use the positive evaluation component of the inner critic and then to shift it. And any time I was hearing that voice, I went through a little series of steps that I put in the book about how do you tell which voice this is, how you want to work with it. And it's that kind of thing that gives you incredible freedom and joy.
Mm, absolutely. You know, for me, I think my inner critic is very much based on perfectionism. I went to an all-girl Catholic school, and it was just, you know, we had to be perfect in everything. And so when I started writing, I initially found that I couldn't write anything if it didn't look perfect, if that first sentence didn't state exactly what I wanted it to. But over the years, what I've found is that if I get into a state really of at least joy, at least like, oh, let's see what percolates, what's going to come tumbling out, and not think of it as like this is the final, you know, the thing that has to come out perfectly, I enjoy the process so much more. And I think that's how I've managed my my inner critic vis-a-vis my writing.
Right, and you are also hooking up with your divinity when you're doing that, because anytime we know what our life purpose is and we want to share something unique and special that we have to offer the world, when we get into that state, which you're describing is a flow state, been heavily researched by Csikszentmihalyi and other people, what you're doing, you're opening the door to your divine self. And you're saying, I'm here to serve, I'm willing to do what I'm uniquely qualified to do. And then the perfectionism drops away.
Mm-hmm.
So one clue is exactly what you're saying. And another of many, many tools is to become very, very curious. So when you look at famous inventors, for example, like Thomas Edison, he was so curious that he didn't even think about the fact that other people were saying, you must be really down on yourself because you're still not successful. You've had over 10,000 tries with the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
You're still not there.
Mm-hmm.
So in a small, teeny way, everything we do, we can incorporate that level of curiosity. I always think, okay, what would I do right now if I were a 2-year-old just wandering around on a very colorful playground for the first time, exploring life, you know, looking at what's new here, what's new there? That's another source of total freedom, because we literally forget to engage with the inner critic. So there's so many tools. Some are very conscious, and some you directly engage the inner critic. You talk to it. You say, I'm not a kid anymore. I've grown up. You just haven't recognized that I'm aware now of my capabilities, and I wasn't when I created you. And I really want to emphasize that we created the inner critic, and we created it to keep ourselves out of trouble.
Yes.
Because, there you go, okay. And so we did that, and a lot of people think it's this horrible thing that somebody else dumped on us, but truly, we created it so that we would not have to risk rejection or disapproval, because kids are very vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, you know, it's like one of hundreds of tools that people can engage with, and, you know, these two alone are just a whole lot of fun.
Absolutely. When you can... I mean, just your use of the word freedom, and I love that, but I also love the confidence. I like that word, you know, because I think the Latin root word is like having faith, you know, having faith in yourself. Because a lot of times, you know, we are afraid sometimes to try new things, or like, for example, with Julie and I. We didn't purposely divide up the work, but Julie ended up doing a lot of the techie stuff because I could maybe get my brain around it, but it would take so much, you know, longer, and, you know, and I do the writing so much better, you know, so there is a sort of a confidence level and that, you know, comes along with learning something new.
It does. And see, that's also hooking in with, if I were playing a game with a child who had never played that game before, would I really be judgmental about how they were doing something they'd never learned to do? So when we flip that around and we do that with ourselves, and we go, I'm learning something new, I must be really courageous and brave to even make the attempt to learn something new. How can I be as gentle to myself as I would be with a friend or a small child, mm-hmm. or maybe someone at work, as some of you are mentors? And it just becomes so sweet and so compassionate toward yourself, mm-hmm. because the inner critic is a very integral part of us. It's a very well-developed part of us, and it's just wanting to serve us. And that's a point that people normally don't get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it wants so much to help us. It started out wanting to help us stay out of trouble. And all it requires now is a little re-education, and it can help us in astounding ways, like it does Meryl Streep and the Olympic athletes that I interviewed and so forth.
So you're saying that there is tremendous power within this inner critic, that if we can unlock it for good, mm-hmm. it can really help us.
You are absolutely right. That's exactly what I'm saying. It is a powerhouse of energy. And so what happens is that most people, before they become aware of what we're talking about, they try to push the inner critic away, they try to shut it up, they try to get rid of it, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Because remember, we designed it to get our attention, to keep us out of trouble. And so anytime we try to get rid of it, it says, wait a minute, I need your attention. And the other thing to really pay attention to is the inner critic thrives on criticism. So if we criticize the inner critic, you can see where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's designed to be a tool. So when we observe it with no judgment whatsoever, and eventually I guarantee you, like all my clients, the people listening on this call can also get to the point of being very grateful for that part of themselves called the inner critic, everything changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had clients literally bawl with tears of gratitude, not pain, not agony, not fear, not, you know, none of the things you think about with the inner critic.
Right.
But total gratitude. My gosh, you've been working my whole life to help me, and I didn't appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, again, it's all about what you said. It's all about personal freedom and joy.
This might be a good time to talk about being your authentic self, as opposed to, you know, the sort of mask that we wear and, you know, the clenched jaw type thing. Could you speak a little bit to the authentic self?
You betcha. And being our authentic selves, in my opinion, is one of the biggest reasons we are on this planet, not just to serve other people as we learn and grow, but also to be authentically us. So whatever we can do to self-discover, coaching is a great way to do that. Meaning, the more we self-discover, the more we're authentic. And the more it becomes clear to us that it just is so untenable to even think about things like people-pleasing, which is guaranteed recipe for failure. And mm-hmm. when I'm saying people-pleasing, I mean trying to please someone else and not be authentic, which is the shakiest foundation for any relationship, whether it's personal or professional.
Mm-hmm.
No one can ever accept us as our authentic selves if we're hiding behind a mask of being someone we're not in an attempt to please them, which always backfires long term, even if it works short term. But they don't even know who we are. Often that comes from we don't truly know who we are. We don't really truly understand our capabilities. That's one of the great things that comes from coaching. And often it's simply fear. It's like, will they reject me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone has that kind of conditional acceptance for us, it's so much better to know it very, very early.
That's true.
Right.
That's
and when we
so
have
true.
An unconditional...
Because the truth is, we do have an inner critic, but there are difficult people out there that are very critical. And I had an experience just a couple weeks ago. I was connecting with a woman who I'd never met before, and she had asked two or three times to be connected, so I thought, okay, this is kind of nice. But then she came on really strong, really intimidating, and I just felt, you know, I just like, well, how did I get into this, you know? And I didn't go into people-pleasing, but I think I just sort of retreated back. She certainly didn't get my authentic self. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right, and the retreat hurts both of you.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm glad you know that, because anytime we're not authentic, someone, we cheat that other person out of getting to know our true self. If they don't like us, that's fine. How many billions of people are there on this planet, and how many do you really, truly need to have love, respect, or accept you? And it comes down to one. You need to love, respect, and accept yourself, totally. And then, you know, just like magic, all these other people who've been difficult aren't difficult anymore. And if they are, it doesn't matter anymore to you, because you're so pleased with, oh, I know who I am, I'm being my authentic self, life is so much more fun, and then you just go on to the next one. But it's very much not just self-sabotage, but sabotage for the entire planet anytime we're not authentic.
Well, I like how you say that, because it's Julie here. I know we sometimes sound alike, but it takes away a lot of the pressure if we say, okay, you know what, the best I can be for myself at this situation, the intention I have, is to be my authentic self. And by being my authentic self, that helps everybody involved. And that just takes a lot of pressure off, because there are things out there, especially when we're improving or expanding, we do try things that are like, well, you know what, I need help on this, and I need help here. And we can be our authentic self, we can ask for help. And I can also help other people who are asking it from me as well. And I just want to point out, you used the word curious, holding the energy of being curious about your world and life, and that's a way of really quieting the inner critic.
Mm.
I love that so much, because as someone who really worked hard in school and strived, and if I didn't get a good grade, even if I was curious, I would, if it wasn't a good grade, you know, I would really have the inner critic just come right in. But when you're curious, you allow yourself more time and more time for growth. And it's just not like, oh my God, I didn't learn it now. Well, I'm not good enough to learn it. I must move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love how you phrase that. It's absolutely perfect. And, of course, what goes hand-in-hand with perfectionism is also procrastination. And that
tell me more about that. Tell me more about that, because I totally agree with you.
I do, too. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. If I'm being perfectionistic, then I won't complete a project, or I won't share my work with the world until it's, quote, perfect, which, of course, it never will be.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Is it excellent? When it is, that's a little easier than perfect, because we go, okay, well, I know I'll maybe years from now look at this and think it could have been better because I've grown and evolved. And yet there's also sometimes it's good enough, and not everything has to be perfect.
So
I have clients do exercises like, for example, things that they really don't have a proclivity to do easily. Maybe it's tech work. I admire, Julie, the fact that you can do that very easily. I can't. It's a, you know, somewhat of a struggle for me, so I hire it done. Or something else maybe that we just have never done because it's not our nature. Let's say you're right-handed and throwing a ball with the left hand is not easy for you. One of the exercises that I encourage clients to do, and they get a lot from it, is throw a ball left-handed. You know, if you're right-handed, and discover over time, you know, just try it one or two, three times and then watch yourself go, but, you know, it's understandable that I'm not perfect in doing this. I'm not wired that way.
Right.
So it's just one small example of a series of exercises you can do to get into self-acceptance and get into it's okay to be good enough. It's okay to do the ball this way because I wasn't wired to do it the other way. And then if it's really, really important to you, you can change your brain where you can learn to throw a ball in an excellent way with your right hand if you want to, if you're left-handed, but you don't really have to. So it's tremendous personal power when we get into what's important, what isn't, what needs to be perfect or excellent or good enough, what do we really want for ourselves, and how does all that align with our life purpose? Because when it's aligned with our life purpose, we are automatically our authentic selves, which I know is important to you, and it's certainly important to me and my clients.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you are out of that alignment, you know, when you talk about perfectionism, you also can get into that paralysis, that immobilization, you call it procrastination, because, you know, you just can't take any action, you know, much less inspired action. And so that place of immobilization or procrastination is such a horrible place to be.
And that's where we can put in the essence of curiosity. If we can just be curious about moving it forward, or just curious enough to move, you know, to learn a little bit more, then Dr. Doris, I mean, I just feel so, you're so right. And then it's like we can be our authentic self, and we can get out of procrastination, because we can procrastinate a year away or 2 years away or a lifetime
absolutely,
away.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And so analysis paralysis is inviting the inner critic to stop by, not only for a chat, but to park its little RV and prepare to be with us for weeks and months.
Well, that's just great. Dr. Doris, I just want to say thank you so much for being on Life of the Girlfriends. What would you like to leave our lovelies with today?
Enjoy the journey. You know, this thing that we call life is the most amazing journey, and I think we all earned the right to be here, and I think we also earned the right to help other people as we learn and grow and develop.
Mm.
So I think you'll find a number of tools if you want to stop by www.conqueryourinnercritic.com. You can sign up to go into the Inner Critic Solutions Gateway. That's definitely worthwhile. And then there are some free ebooks for you at freejoyebooks.com. And what you'll discover is there are a series of answers to all the things that we've been talking about today, plus much, much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to do that. There are also some free videos there.
Yeah, that's an awesome website, and you're so generous. And the tools are, I looked at them earlier today, just fabulous and amazing. So I urge our listeners to go there, just browse around, and like you said, enjoy the journey from Dr. Doris. It really has been enlightening. Thank you so much, Dr. Doris.
It was a true privilege for me. Thank you so much for what you're doing to help everyone.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great night.
Oh, you too.
Thank you. That was a great interview. I love Dr. Doris.
I know.
And I hope she's okay with us calling her Dr. Doris.
Dr. Doris Helge. We know the last name now, Helge.
Helge.
H-E-L-G-E. And she is coachingbydoris.com. And I'm imagining if you were lucky enough to be coached by Dr. Doris, you know, that would be awesome. But like she said, she's got a whole bunch of just stuff to browse, to get your curiosity aroused. At her website, this one is conqueryourinnercritic.com, that she has the free stuff at.
Yes, and you can go to coachingbydoris.com, and awesome, awesome stuff. And, you know, her website's great, so much free stuff, so many videos. I highly recommend it. And, you know, Mom, in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, that's coming out before our next guest comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping our engineer is having an okay time looking at our next guest, because she is in Australia.
She's an Aussie. we're gonna have to fight kangaroos with her.
Hey, I just saw that PBS show on kangaroos. How they are totally. It was I'm not the only PBS fan out there. I'm sure there's a lot of lovelies out there listening that love PBS. But I'm telling you, I watched that whole hour on 2 hours, probably on Nova, on kangaroos and how they're just like coming in at night, the capital of Australia, because of the droughts at certain times. And there's thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, it's
so
just,
here's the problem. They're so darn cute.
I know.
They just like, you just want to love them. But they're like, you know, hey, don't get in my space.
Exactly.
Biatch, you know. they'll punch a girl.
Exactly, exactly. So that's, they will punch a girl. I saw it. I saw it on TV. But, you know, on our Clutterfly Effect, so we're going to give our engineer time to find our next guest. And if not, we'll talk about her. We'll talk about her while
yes,
she's not here, because we know her quite well.
And if she doesn't make it all the way here from Australia, we know what we're going to talk about.
and we just had our little, I'm going to say it. We had our sexy engineer voice come through our head that nobody else hears.
You're just hearing things.
I'm hearing things,
girlfriend.
I am. But before we bring on our next guest, Vanessa Talbot, I just want to say about the Clutterfly effect.
Yes.
We have a whole chapter on saboteur, and it's very much like your inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how Dr. Doris explained it because, you know, we take our information, we write about it, and then When we get together and great minds get together, we expand the concept and we go deeper with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, we talk about giving your inner child another job to see from an expansive view, and to think that we can give our saboteur another job. Like, hey, saboteur, mm-hmm. you know, you've had this job to keep us safe. Now let's have a different job for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can take that with the sense of curiosity, wow, double the fun. You bet.
So we'll talk about the Clutterfly Effect Festival Days a little bit later on.
Yes, we will.
We'll bring on our guests.
Mama, please, please, please do the introductions to our guests. Is our guest there?
I am. Hello, everyone. Hi, Dr.
Hi, Vanessa.
Good
She's
to hear
very
your
low,
voices.
Though, really.
Yes. Hi, Vanessa. You are very, very low, but that's okay. We're gonna be quiet. And we're gonna hear you, but Vanessa Talbot, I want you to first tell me about your book, and I want to know how you say it because Mom and I both say it differently.
I say extraordinary, and Julie says
extraordinary. You so, Vanessa, out of the author's mouth, how do you say your book's title?
I'm with Julie. It's extraordinary. Was that a Julie?
Julie won. Julie won. Julie, I owe you money.
There you go. That's right.
We're so delighted to have you,
Vanessa. I guess it doesn't matter how you say it.
Ah, good. So, Vanessa, Extraordinary You, your new book, can't wait till it comes out. May 8th is the special day. You know, what inspired you to write this cool book?
Okay, well, I'm a coach, and what happened was I was seeing so many people, particularly women, mm-hmm. getting really comfortable with living mundane existences, yet they weren't really happy with it, but they didn't really know how to step out of it. And a lot of people, you know, you go to a coach and it will help you with that, but a lot of people can't afford to go for coaching. So I wrote the book, and it's an easy way for people to get simple ways to take actually giant leaps out of these restricting boundaries they put aside them. So really what I wanted to do for women was to shake them up just a little bit without making them jump out of their comfort zones in big, huge ways, and just allow them to see the extraordinary within themselves and what they've got around them as well.
Awesome. I love that. Because I don't know why it is, but I mean, I know that you said you see it mostly in women, or women talk about it more, and it's true. I think we get so comfortable
in a routine
yeah. or pleasing our families and our friends and everybody else, and we're on our list. We might be the last person on our list to help
right.
out. And how do we, you know, move past this? So I want to ask you, Vanessa, you know, what's different about this book than other self-help books?
Yeah, I like that one because I do get asked a bit because there's so many self-help books out there. What is different? I actually got 11 women, that includes myself. So it's not just all me just giving advice how to do it. It's actually the stories of 11 women, what we went through, and then how we acted to shift our own comprehension and shift our own lives. So there's guidance in there and little action steps that ordinary people can take. And these are just ordinary women, too. They're not out there, you know, climbing Mount Everest or jumping out of airplanes
mm-hmm.
and this sort of stuff that people think you need to do to live an extraordinary life. It's showing
right.
people how you can do it within your own ordinary life, but make your own ordinary life totally magic.
Mm. How would you define living an extraordinary life, or extraordinary life, as Julie would say?
It's totally different for everyone, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
my idea of living an extraordinary life. You know, you guys were just talking about kangaroos.
Yeah.
I could hear you talking about the kangaroos.
Yes.
I have three kangaroos here right now. I've got pet kangaroos.
Oh, that's so amazing. I don't know what to say about that. We
have a little miniature horsey, too, don't you?
I have four miniature horses. And, you see, that's my extraordinary life. Mine's living in my little country property, sometimes being a little bit of a hermit, but getting out when I need to, and just being totally happy within nature. I do wildlife caring, and that's one of my passions. So it's and coaching is my passion. Teaching other people how to live extraordinary within their own idea. So each one has their own concept. So your idea of living extraordinary may be different than mine, but the clue is that we follow our own thoughts, our own passions, and that's how you live extraordinarily, by doing it for you and not having to listen to everyone else.
I have to say, I'm a bit jealous about having kangaroos and some miniature horses, but today I followed my passion, and my husband and I went to the river, and we just enjoyed the breeze and the birds, and getting out in nature is one of my things that make me feel just extraordinary.
yeah, me too. And for other people, it's the buzz of the city life, you know, so it's about really following what brings magic to you. And as I said, for everyone it's different, so it's finding what it is for you and then doing it and living it.
You know, so many people have had had the lid on, you know, had their just like a pressure cooker. They don't know what it's like to take the lid off and let some steam out and just feel what it feels like to have sort of a natural life. There's always, you know, the next worry or the next bill or whatever. What do you tell people to just, you know, everybody has those same issues, but how can you move, you know, through them, beyond them to you know, feel the, you know, the extraordinary life or the life of, you know, that luscious, vibrant living?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what I reckon what happens to a lot of us? We live in a tunnel vision, a daily tunnel vision on our to-do lists, the to-do lists that we never get to the end of. And we spend a lot of our time focusing on what we have to do, what we have to get done, particularly if you're mums, you know, and you're busy and you've got kids and husbands to look after. You tend to put yourself last. So what I would say is allow time for yourself every day. Even if you can only squeeze in 10 minutes, you bring it in. You just have to, or else you'll just go in that tunnel vision all day long, waking up in the morning, ticking off all the boxes on the to-do list, and then falling exhausted each night, and then asking yourself, where's my day gone? And there's no joy brought into the day. So each day, bring a little something in that brings you joy. Look for that one thing and make sure you experience that one little thing. And that gives you a little bit of a break from that tunnel that we put ourselves in.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. We do have a tendency, and we start finding, you know, that tunnel becomes our comfort zone. But we all know that everything that you really want is just right outside that comfort zone. And we get used to that, you know, living in that, if you're a larva, you know, and you're living in the cocoon state, you know, we want to break free from that. And Julie and I, in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, we talk about the golden hour that it's important to give yourself every day. We'd like to have people have, we call it bookends, maybe 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening, but just for your soul, just for your, your expansion for yourself.
Yeah. And I think you've got to stop making excuses as to why you can't.
Exactly.
I'm too busy, you know, or the kids, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You've just got to put yourself as much priority as you're putting everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a moment when you said, wait a minute, enough, you know, did you have that sort of epiphany moment?
Absolutely.
What defined this for you?
Absolutely. I won't give away too much of my story, of course, but I was busy, work, make money, make money. You know, I was running a great big company in the mining industry here in Australia. And I also had a little girl as well. I had a baby. So I was finding that I was working all the time and not spending time with my baby. And the few times that I did get time off from work, because I was so concentrated on bringing in the money, that it was with my child, and I had no time for myself, and I stopped doing my wildlife caring, as I said to you before. Wildlife caring is very important. And, yeah, I had that moment. I actually drove myself till I got sick, and I was sick for a long time, and I just kept pushing myself, and I didn't even realize how sick I was until I was actually told by the doctor to stop. And that was kind of my epiphany. How did I keep on getting myself to this point that I got that sick that I actually had to be told to stop?
Right. And so I hope the lovelies listening out there, because we all know when we're kind of heading down that path, when we know that we can't give anymore but we're still giving, and we can't do it all but we're trying to give it all, and we know that we're getting to that point where we can't go any further down. And so we say, stop now. And how can you start, living this, in your book you call it The Art of Living a Lusciously Spirited, Vibrant Life. I love that, because we have to claim that. And one way for us is, to ask yourself the question, how can I find joy in my life? And your brain may start figuring out ways, or, how can I? If that's important to me, how can I get 5 minutes of joy a day just for me? And let that percolate.
Yeah. And one thing I write about in my book is actually training yourself, beginning to train yourself to look for a joy in each day. Because a lot of the time it's around us, but as I said, we're stuck in that tunnel vision of our worries, our anxieties, and what we need to do, that we're not looking or experiencing the joy. So I talk about training yourself by looking for one little thing a day to start with and writing it down in what I call a joy book. But that's just opening and raising your awareness to the fact that it is around you.
So then, Vanessa, would you say this book is like an instructional manual then?
No, it's not a manual at all. It does have a few little suggestions at the end of each chapter of how you, the reader, can bring it into your life. And each chapter is one woman's voice. And the ladies are all across the U.S. and Australia. So I have a nice mix between Aussies and Americans in the book, so that's wonderful. But each of them talk about a little different factor. So one might talk about self-care, one might talk about how bringing animals into your life can help you heal, one talks about connecting your divine heart. So there's all different facets, and I find that readers resonate with certain things within each chapter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Whatever you need, it will resonate with you.
I want to talk about your website real quick. Can I bring up extraordinaryyoubook.com now? but I want to mention on that, you have a picture of a woman, and she's got she's looking at this bubble at her finger, and it's just really a cool-looking picture, and you mentioned your daughter. But my little niece, she's only 2 years old, and I'm telling you, the one thing that gives her joy is bubbles. And when I saw that picture, and I said, that is a perfect picture to represent joy, because when I'm playing with her and I'm blowing bubbles and she's like, bubbles, 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 I can't help but feel joy. So for all the lovelies out there, if you haven't blown a bubble in a while,
you've got to blow some bubbles.
You've got to blow some bubbles. And blow them at your dog, blow them at your lover, whoever's around. And see if you can't do it without smiling and so forth. So I want to say thank you for having that picture on your website, because that's an awesome picture.
I did like it, too, when I saw it. I just thought, that's kind of about extraordinary. You know, little things like that that seem so trivial, but they are so big. You know, that's what makes us laugh, what brings us joy.
Exactly. Oh, and I love what you said there. It's really those little things that build and keep building your extraordinary life. You know, when you think about a lusciously spirited, vibrant life, it is those little moments that keep building and building.
Absolutely. Most people think, oh, my gosh, I have to have a ton of money. To live an extraordinary life, I need the yacht, all the fancy, shoes and stiletto heels. No, it really is just the smallest thing that can find your, you can just, like a deep belly laugh. I mean, sometimes Julie and I, we don't know, we get into a crazy space, and we start laughing, and we always say we laugh so hard the tears run down our legs. But, you know, I feel, I feel so much better after a great big belly laugh, you know, just really just laughing. And that didn't cost a penny, didn't cost a cent.
No. And my mantra is, it's the little things that make a life big. That's how I like to look at it.
Yes.
Yes. That's for definitely sure. Now, also, too, I was on your website, it talks about, maybe you can just share one of these tips. Like, you have top 10 tips for weight loss that you won't get from a fitness guru. And I'm wondering if you could give us one tip. Is that possible?
No. Oh, you're stretching me now. I think I wrote that one a little while back.
Ah, that was Julie, she wrote that a year ago.
Oh, my
gosh.
That
was on a blog.
Oh, was it? Oh, because mom's like, oh, my gosh, the top 10 tips. I'm like, oh, I have to look at that now. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what, it's finding the joy, Julie.
That's exactly right.
As opposed to finding it in a snicker.
Exactly. And if you're living an extraordinary life, being an extraordinary you, oh, that's just one of the, that's one of the tips right there. That's
right.
One of the tips right there.
Hey, Vanessa, let's talk about May 8th. 1-2?
Yes. A few days away.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes,
what is going on May 8th? I can't wait for you to share it with our lovelies.
Yeah, and you lovelies are joining in with me as well with it. We're doing a nice big Amazon launch campaign on May the 8th. And with it, when people buy the book on May the 8th, we've got all these wonderful bonus gifts from, amazing people in the coaching, the healing, meditation, all sorts of areas within the personal development, self-help, and wellness, of course, too, areas. So I've got some great people, and they're all giving out bonus gifts and free giveaways when you purchase the book on that day. So they're all the great things that you can have extra access to on that day when you purchase via Amazon on that day.
And we will be doing that. I think we're going to be buying about 3 or 4 at least.
Exactly. We have many people going to get this book too. And they would go to buy the book, should they go right to Amazon or should they go to extraordinaryyoubook.com? Where should they go?
Actually, where are we going? You know, we haven't sent the website live yet because we want people to wait to our big day. So we're going to send it probably live about the day before, but it's actually extraordinaryyoubook.com.au/book, and that will get you to the page, and then you'll be able to buy direct from there and get access to all those wonderful goodies that all these amazing people are putting there. And for anyone who's interested in any of those areas, you get to maybe find out some new people that are in this arena and doing some great products and great stuff out there that you can have some free access to.
Yes.
Yeah, discover new people.
Yes, and also lovelies out there, you can just go to Christine, Marie, and Julie. We'll have it on our blog. We'll have it on our Twitter at Prosperity Duo. And at Facebook, Christine, Marie, and Julie. And so we'll let you guys know when it's on, but look forward to it towards May 8th. Lots of great bonuses. And, you know, we won't tell us. We've contributed a very special bonus, kind of a contest. So it's going to be fun, but you can't find out yet until May 8th. Can't find out yet.
So that's right. I'm keeping everything under wraps myself for the day, because that's why we haven't set that particular website live. So it's a little bit different than the one you're looking at, which is for the book. But our special one for this day, I'll send you through the link so that you'll have it there. And, it's .com.au, so it's a little bit different than the other one.
Anticipation is always great. When we had the Kentucky Derby here yesterday, Vanessa, and I went with didn't go with 1,000 people, but I happened to be with 1,000 people, and the anticipation of the race was so exciting, the energy building, and that's kind of what's going on here. We're building the energy for May 8th, and just like I said, all our lovelies out there, you can check our Twitter page at Prosperity Duo or ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, and we'll have it all there for you.
It's so exciting.
It's very, very, very exciting.
And you know what I love too? I mean, I love this, but I'm so happy to hear a fellow animal lover that you have your work that you are you still doing the work with the rescue animals?
Oh, absolutely. So I've got Yeah, I have galahs here, which is a little Australian. So obviously I do all Australian native wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So the native animals is what I rescue. So I have plenty of galahs here and possums and the three kangaroos at the moment. So, yeah, I love it, absolutely love it.
Mm.
And
so,
that is, you know, my little passion is helping native wildlife. So that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
And so our, this is off the subject a little bit, but for kangaroos, because, you know, in America, we don't have kangaroos, so we just think it would be so cool to have them. Are they like deer? Like, we have deer everywhere in our yards and, you know, in the country, and we're always worried about hitting them and all that stuff. So are they just that, like, everywhere in Australia, all the kangaroos?
Oh, look, you're not going to go into the middle of the city, you know. You're not going to go down the main street in Sydney and find kangaroos bouncing down the highway. When you get out into the country, they're quite prevalent. There is quite a few. And driving at night, and I guess it's the same problem over there with the deer, driving at night is a problem because you may end up hitting kangaroos because that's when they're out and about.
Yes.
So, yeah, it can be a problem in the country, but most certainly not in the cities.
Okay. Okay, well, good, because, like I said, I don't know if you heard my conversation before, but I was watching PBS, and, whoa, they were all over. I wanted to go see that just for that. That was amazing.
I know.
That was
so
amazing.
Cute. The eyelashes and everything. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Vanessa, I'll have to send you a picture of my little Roo, then. I'll have to send
you one. Oh, please do. Please do. We'll put it up on our website.
And see my babies, yeah.
That would be wonderful. Vanessa, before you leave, what do you want to leave our lovelies with tonight?
Have an extraordinary life. Take care of yourself. Follow your passions. And come on board and come get our book via Amazon on Wednesday and find out how you can bring the magic into the mundane and make ordinary lives extraordinary in the most simplest of ways.
Mm. Well, it's been magic being with you tonight and talking about Extraordinary You, the book. And we are delighted to be a part of it, and we can't wait until Wednesday. And we're not going to wait till Wednesday to let the magic begin. We're letting the magic start right now.
Exactly. I live an extraordinary life and making it easy. So, I love it. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Have a wonderful day for you and for night for if you're on this side. And blessings to you.
Thank you for having me on. And it's Monday morning here, so I'm ready to sit for the rest of the day now.
Ah.
Well, give those kangaroos a hug for me.
Yes, give them a hug for us, please.
I'll send you guys some photos. You'll love them.
Thank you.
Ah, that was...
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ah, lovely, lovely, lovely. Vanessa Talbot, I love it. Extraordinary You. I mean, come on. I want to be an extraordinary me. That's
for
sure.
You are already.
Well, I mean, you know, the message of the day is really about being your authentic self.
Yes.
And being your authentic self and then going, okay, now how can I be more extraordinary for me? You know, for me.
And finding, I mean, I just imagine that if we were our authentic self,
right,
we'd have contact with that deep place in us that's just joyful no matter what.
Exactly.
No, I found that joy down in my heart.
That's right. So I
want
to say to everybody before we leave, you know, make sure that you go to theclutterflyeffect.com because we're having the Clutterfly Effect Festival Days coming up May 17th through
the
21st.
And our website is live right now.
Yes.
theclutterflyeffect.com. You can see our little trailer there. Oh, we've got a song, too, that we're going to play. It's called One Small Step. Gonna make you climb that mountain. Oh, yeah, so good.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And you know, before we leave, it's really about the Clutterfly Effect. You know how you declutter your life for transformation, and also how one small change or tweak can yield big results. And I love that because we can do one small tweak, we can make that tweak, and we can master that tweak, and then another one. And before you know it, it really does feel like, ooh, you know, exponential growth, or what do they call that when you invest money over time and then you have compounding interest? That's what it's like. It's just like those tweaks add up to compounding interest.
And you know what's nice about small changes, small steps, tweaks, is that you really can still stay in joy. You still can have an extraordinary life, because you're not doing everything at once, which just sucks the life out of you, right? It really
does
to try and do something, you know, like, oh, I'm going to run the marathon in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, over time, you can't run that marathon.
Right, or maybe I'm just going to start enjoying running and see where that takes me. And
that's right.
And then before you know it, you are running that marathon. And I'm going to be real honest. I've gone back and forth in that marathon goal. Sometimes it looks really enticing, and other times I'm like, really? I don't know. Maybe I'll just cheer on people at marathons.
Maybe I'll just do yoga.
There you go. My joints will be happier, I think. My personal joints will be happier.
I know your joints. Every time we want to do Zumba or something.
Oh, my knees kill me.
Yeah.
I wish somebody had told me that. I'm like, you know, it looks so fun.
Yeah.
But my knees have a sad face on them when I do Zumba. So anyway, everyone have a great, great Sunday or Monday, depending where you're at. Go to clarifyeffect.com. Join us for Festival Day.
I want to sing along with Everybody Needs a Good Friend.
That's our song. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Everybody needs a good girlfriend when the sun goes down at night. Everybody needs a good girlfriend to make the wrong seem right. Everybody needs a good girlfriend to come to the hand to hold. Everybody needs.